Experts claim there is nothing tougher than a diamond. But at Diamonds Direct, we beg to differ. Have you ever met a mother? Strong, radiant, timeless. This Mother's Day, give her the gift that meets her match. With diamond jewelry starting at $200, plus Diamonds Direct's exceptional quality and unbeatable everyday price, you're sure to give her a gift that wows this generation and the next to come. Experience the thrill of jewelry shopping done right at Diamonds Direct. Diamonds Direct. Your love, our passion.
This is your moment, your time to shine, your comeback. You're ready for the next step in your career, and you want an education employers respect. So you're not just going back to school. You're coming back with Purdue Global. Backed by Purdue University, one of the nation's most respected public universities, Purdue Global is built for people who bring their life experience into the online classroom. Purdue Global, Purdue's online university for working adults. Start your comeback today at purdueglobal.edu.
Homes.com knows having the right agent can make or break your home search. That's why they provide home shoppers with an agent directory that gives you a detailed look at each agent's experience, like the number of closed sales in a specific neighborhood, average price range, and more. It lets you easily connect with all the agents in the area you're searching, so you can find the right agent with the right experience and ultimately the right home for you. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Go.
We're back.
We're back.
Christina.
Hi.
With the burn.
With the burn.
We're really staying consistent with this.
I'm so proud of us.
I know. Sometimes I'll start a little mini series and then it just...
I am trying to be more mindful of creating consistency, because when you create consistency and create a schedule, that's where creativity comes.
Okay, wait. When you create And I feel like you're like left eye twitched at me when you said that. So that means it's like really hitting home. Okay, wait. When you create consistency and you create a schedule, that's where creativity comes.
I know that sounds crazy.
No. I feel good about this. Explain.
We're used to like freedom being, oh, nothing's tying me in. Nothing's this, nothing's that. And when you create this time, like we set this time, nothing's in my way.
Right.
Did we plan for this podcast? Did we plan for like what we're going to talk about? Not necessarily. We know
the general idea,
what it is, but we have this opportunity for an hour, however long you and I sit, where we're not distracted by the outside world. We're not. So the creativity, the conversation is going to happen naturally on its own. Just like when I schedule my painting time or my writing time or my reading, I'm blocking out everything else to allow those free flowing thoughts, creations to come in.
Okay, so your mind's not racing and you're not like in the situation thinking about another situation because you've blocked it all.
Yeah.
I get that.
And I know for some people, like when it comes to me working, when I am in the zone, and I mean in the zone, let's say email zone of where like my 9 to 5, I'm in there. I have to block out everything else. I have to silence my phone. I have to shut my office door. So I am focused on that.
You can plow through it.
I can plow through it and I can get through it. I can be so efficient.
But if you just were dilly-dallying and kind of answering emails, answering your phone calls and, you know, doing this, checking in on the studio.
So why not do the same exact thing with our passion projects or our hobbies or the things that bring us joy, or even this? My time with you is so important to me because I feel like we have something to share with the world while we're sharing with each other.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, we're scheduling, we're being consistent.
I love that. And I need to get more consistent. Yes. And I need to share more. Michael and I were talking about this last night. I've been so afraid of sharing because I've been so afraid of all the terrible things out there.
Mm-hmm.
But it's like, am I not sharing because I'm afraid of people? You know? I mean, partly. And so it's like, I've got to get that fear out of my head. And not like, I don't want to like overshare. And I don't want to like share Sunny in a way that like violates her, uses her. But like, she is a big part of my life. So it's like, to not share about her is to leave a big part of my life out. I mean, it's just like getting over fear.
I know. As I am, I'm writing my book right now,
ooh,
even though it's fiction, it's based on my life. And that thought of like, how much do you share about another human?
I know, when it really impacted you.
It's part of your story. Now it comes even trickier and stickier when it's your kid.
Right.
And when your kid is not old enough for necessarily consent
right.
in the sharing. I honestly think that's the place of a parent's judgment. It's not anybody else's place to mm-hmm. judge you on that. And for you and Michael to figure out together and have those conversations with Sunny as she gets older. And if mm-hmm. something's not fun or if something's whatever, then you have an opportunity to pivot and shift. It doesn't have to stay consistent.
I know, because we're just in a world where it's just like, it's happening.
Yeah. I'm very curious to hear about your fear more into what you're centralizing that around, because I think fear is a beautiful thing in some aspects. I know that sounds crazy. I think it protects us from some things to notice, and it's also this horrible thing that holds us back from the freedom of expressing, from growing, from learning. So
yeah,
maybe we just get into this.
I'm scared of predators, honestly. That's what I'm scared of.
So do you feel like you're burning out right now on the fear of predators? And I know,
I feel like I'm burning out on a lot of things, not just the social media stuff. Like,
same, sister, same.
I like turned 40 this year and I'm like, God, what do you want me to do? Like, I am like trying to figure it out. I'm ready to expand, to grow. I feel like I keep trying to expand and grow, but then like, I think I have a big fear about predators, like I was saying. And so it's like, I am scared to like really share my life, but then it's also like, I'm not going to get into this deeply because I don't want to talk about this deeply, but it's like we keep trying to expand our family and that's not working, and we've just had a lot of losses, and I'm just like, oh my God, it's so exhausting, and I don't understand what I'm supposed to be doing there, because I feel like I felt like we were maybe supposed to, you know, grow the family, and then it's not happening. And so I don't know, when you're just in a giant question mark and not knowing what to move forward. But I'm also like 40 years old. I've now had multiple losses. I have one beautiful, healthy child. It's like, how hard am I going to push this? You know, I feel like, and that's something I'm really grappling with right now, is I'm not one to quit on a loss, you know?
Mm-hmm.
I always like to get the redemption. I always like to figure out the how to make it happen, how to push through. But it's like, after I'm at this place in my life where I'm like, God, do I end on a loss, you know? And just be thankful for what I have. And that's like a really interesting, hard spot for me to grapple with. But one hand, it's like, you know, just go all in and embrace everything you have and love it and give your whole heart to it. Or on the other hand, you wonder what if, or what could be, or what's still out there? What did we miss out on? Or what would it have been like? I mean, because you never know. Would it be better or worse? It would just be something different.
Yeah.
And you just won't ever know. And it's just like that question mark of not knowing. So I just feel like confused.
So
I'm scared of predators, and then I'm just confused with life, and I'm dealing with loss, and I don't know what to do. And I'm like, God, I'm ready to shine, but I'm really not in a shiny spot.
Let me shine.
So I went and got my hair dyed blonde, and I put on fake lashes. And you know what?
Do you feel good?
Yes. I feel okay. So much better. And I, for those of people who've been following me on my journey, like when I got all natural, cut my hair off, dyed it brown, took my lashes off, stopped doing Botox, like I needed to get down to the core of who I was without all this stuff on me. But man, when you're in the mud for a long time, it feels good to lather on some fake shit.
Uh-huh.
I'm like, oh man, give me the Botox, give me the fake lashes, and give me the blonde hair. And I looked in the mirror yesterday and I was like, oh, I don't care. This is not for one other person, but for me. And like, I just feel so good right now with a little fake on me.
Do you know what is so empowering about what you just said? You had an opportunity where you felt like you needed to get rid of all of it.
I need to
get rid of it. I'm going to go back to my dark hair. I'm not going to have lashes. I'm not going to do Botox. I'm going to go as natural as possible. Awesome. You did it. And then you changed your mind. And you're like, I want my lashes back. I want my hair back. I want to get some Botox. I want to put on some makeup.
And it's for me.
Awesome. It is for you.
For me. Because I was wondering why I was doing it before. I'm like, am I doing this for the approval of others?
Yeah.
But I looked in the mirror after I got those lashes yesterday. I go to Danielle at Lash
Out. Damn, I look good.
And I was like, oh, I feel so good. And I don't care if anyone in the world cares about my lashes, but man, they make me feel good.
Do you want to know what? Who do you think actually cares about your lashes?
No one, but I was so worried. I've always been so worried about people's approval and that they're going to think something of me or I'm trying too hard.
Who?
Or
who?
All of them. I don't know. All the people who are like really, all the influencers who are great or all the, I don't know who I think is watching my life. Like, do you have like one person in particular when you post, you're like, you look for that person to see if they watched your story or to see like if they liked your, you know, like, are you kind of secretly doing it for someone?
Oh my gosh, I do have somebody and I didn't even think about that. I do have one person that I look and I will tell you, I just figured out a couple weeks ago.
Like you're excited
that
when they
you
see
can
it?
Look. To see who sees your story. I didn't know that.
We're old, Christina. We got to get on. You got a gimbal, though. So, I mean, we're hip with this camera.
It just came in a week ago. I'm not even that hip yet.
I'm about to get a
gimbal.
Figuring
it out.
Yeah.
But yes, no.
So you kind of do it with like this person in mind. Like, are they going to?
Uh-huh.
Like, you know?
Uh-huh.
Uh-huh. Mine is like.
Well, No. Okay. Yes. And I just realized a couple weeks ago that you can see who sees your story. I just thought
okay,
about
see, I'm,
post
I'm
and
behind,
likes
but that's
and
way
this.
Behind Christina.
I know. But I looked and I scrolled through and I was like, interesting. So-and-so hasn't seen my story. And this is somebody that I consider close to me. And I noticed that they had commented on somebody else's post. And I was like, wait.
Hello.
Wait, you didn't see my stuff. And then I sat there and I was like, why do I care?
Right.
When I have muted almost every single human on Instagram. I haven't unfollowed people. I've muted because I...
That's the way to do it. I went through an unfollow phase and then when you run into the people you unfollow, it's a little awkward.
Yes.
Because I'm like, I didn't unfollow you because I don't like you. I just unfollowed you because my brain can't handle all of these people's information coming at me.
Uh-huh.
And half the time I'm like, your life is so cool and amazing that I just don't need to see it right now because I'm stuck in the mud.
Yeah.
And it's like, that's what another thing I'm realizing. It's not like a jealousy thing. It's like a trigger because it's like, I know I'm not at my highest and best right now just because it's just been a heavy, hard season. And so sometimes when you're not at your highest and best, it's great to see other people who are, but you can't like flood yourself with that all the time because then you just feel like absolute shit.
Oh, 100%.
Because you got to give yourself a little grace to get back on track.
There was this true, honest, transparent moment, which I hope we have thousands of these. There was an influencer that I love and adore, and every single time they would pop up on my feed, I felt like a gut punch in my stomach.
Because they're killing it and you're not.
Yes.
That's how I feel too so many times.
And
it's not
like
you're jealous because you're happy for them and they're killing it, but it's like, oh,
so
I'm not.
I went to this person and I asked and I said, hey, how's this influencer game? Will you share with me, are you really like making a living? And she said, I am the most successful I have ever been in my life because I'm home with my kids. My marriage is good because I have created, I think she said three. I almost said two, but my tongue said three. So I'm gonna say three. 3 hours a day where I work and then I don't do anything else. I am with my family and I'm present. And
does she share her family on her?
Mm-hmm. Uh-huh. And I think that was the thing that hit me, that this person is successful. They are living their happiness. And I'm not going to lie, I do think it was a moment of me being jealous.
But it's not like a jealous in a sense that you want them not to be
succeeding. No.
It's a jealous in like, I'm not killing it. But then I struggle with, but I don't want to share my full family.
But you know what she shared?
What?
She said, I had to pretend like this is just for me. This is just for my family. I'm sharing a truth in a mirror. I'm not worried about what anybody says because she said my comments can be hateful. My inbox is worse. And I don't read them. I don't look at them. If I see it, blocked.
Moving on.
And I was like, how do you do that? She was like, I just do it. I don't have a choice. Either I could have mental health issues and keep me from doing what I'm doing, and I say mental health issues, let me try, but most of us have struggled with some sort of something.
Right.
I know I do.
Right. I mean, who doesn't?
And they could live in that and live in that fear, or they could be successful. And by successful, yes, monetary has come in there, but they're able to be present with their family. And that's
where
what
I'm
I want.
Struggling right now. And I think that this is going to have to be my next leap of faith, is I can't hide my life away because I'm scared. But it's like this woman, she's sharing her life, and it's out of love of her life. And so it's like, you can't just like be afraid to share, because then you're living in fear.
Yeah. Well, she said 21 hours out of my day, I don't share anything. 3 hours can be creating content. It could be filming something. It could be whatever. I have my partner's approval. My kids are small, but as long as they're having fun and they're not. And she also said that she's learned lessons from not sharing parts of her kids, of this is what her child's struggling, this is what it is, and things that she should share. So I don't think there's a algorithm that's like, this is perfect, this is this. I think it's trial and error, what works best for your family.
And you have to feel good about it.
And coming from my aspect, where my kids are older, you know, they have my consent, but I only have one kid living at home still.
The other ones have all grown?
They're all out. Nobody's at home. It's just Layla.
They're all out?
They're all out. So figuring out that way of life. But for me, I am such a private person. Six
kids.
Yeah. So 4 biological, 2 adopted. And there's things that I, as adult, having adult children, like navigating, figuring out, that my kids are like, no, don't share that, or don't anything. But I'm also a very private person, and that doesn't make our walk any different either, if that makes sense. Like, I'm still living in fear of, am I not sharing enough? Am I not being, and I'm not even talking about social media, just with humans in general. I don't tell my friends stuff. Mm-hmm. I don't. I talk to my therapist, which, yay, therapy's amazing. And I have one friend that I could tell front to back everything wrong, pretty beautiful in my life, that I've been best friends with since I was 12. And the safest part of that, one, I know she's not going to share. 2, I can be like, I never want to talk about this again. She'll be like, cool, never talk about
it
again.
You need to get it out.
Yep, I just need to get it out. Need to move on.
Need to dump.
Yep, and that's all it is. But there is aspects of my life that I feel like maybe I should share with my group of friends. And I struggle with that. And that's not even on social media. So I do get that part from you. And your brand is different than mine.
I've just gone through so much of it. Like, when I first started, I shared everything, and I was an artist, and I shared everything, and I was chronicling everything and documenting everything. And then Sunny came around, and I just got weird about it. And now I got to get comfortable with it. Okay. So what is your high and what is your low? Where are you burning out? Where are you burning bright?
Okay. I will say where I am burning bright. I want to lead with this.
Okay.
I have said no to so many things in the past week.
Okay, and that's great, because picking up off the last episode, you struggle with saying no.
I do. And the first time I said no to something,
did you feel like they hated you?
I was like, oh, I need to explain. And even I dwindled it down, because I am a person, I would rather type it out because there's no confusion about what I'm saying. It was a paragraph. And then I dwindled it down to like, no, I can't, in one sentence. And then I learned the next time of like, thank you for thinking of me, I can't.
Hi, I'm Cindy Crawford, and I'm the founder of Meaningful Beauty. Well, I don't know about you, but like, I never liked being told, oh, wow, you look so good for your age. Like, why even bother saying that? Why don't you just say you look great at any age, every age? That's what Meaningful Beauty is all about. We create products that make you feel confident in your skin at the age you are now.
Meaningful Beauty, beautiful skin at every age. Learn more at meaningfulbeauty.com.
Snag a Job is where America goes to hire, with the deepest talent pool in hourly hiring. With access to over 6 million active hourly workers, Snag a Job is the all-in-one solution for hiring high-quality employees who can cover all your needs. On demand, temp to hire, part-time or full-time. You name the position. Warehouse worker, retail associate, grocery store clerk, fitness trainer, baker, stylist, bellhop, podcast producer. Yeah, Snag a Job's got a worker for that. With our easy-to-use platform, you're able to seamlessly post and fill available positions quickly, with a dedicated customer support team to provide all the help you need along the way. Kind of nice knowing you have a talent pool like that in your own backyard, right? Snagajob is the partner you need to keep your business running smoothly. So visit snagajob.com or text snag to 242424 to talk to an expert. Snagajob.com, where America goes to hire.
You deserve a moment to yourself every single day. And a delicious bite of a Keebler Sandies can give you that comforting pause. If tonight's movie night is just what you need, make it special with the melt-in-your-mouth magic of a Keebler Sandies. This magic is baked into simple shortbread cookies by Ernie and the Keebler Elves. So as life continues to fly by, make the most of your me moment. Take a pause and enjoy a Keebler Sandies.
And I was like, oh, damn, this is empowering. I felt so good. I wrote my book when I was done. I cooked dinner with my family. And I say cooked dinner, I warmed up leftovers from Thanksgiving.
That's great.
But it was amazing. And I think that is one place where I am going to lean into that more, because when I say yes to things that I don't want to say yes or yes to, I'm saying no to the things that I really want to say yes to. And I even messaged a friend of mine. I said, I don't feel good about saying yes to this because I've said no to my family, my friends, my art, my work. So saying yes to them is taking away one of them.
And it's like on the list of priorities, it's like you got like five things definitely ahead of it.
Yeah.
That
yeah.
you're going to be saying no to out of fear of that person being mad at you
mm-hmm.
when you don't even really care.
And if I over-explain... to give somebody an option.
You don't
option
even have to over-explain.
No, no. I don't need to explain
more.
Anything. Can't.
I know.
Thank you. Thank you for thinking of me.
I know. I know. Yeah. That's so great. Congratulations. That's
thank
huge.
You. Thank you.
Okay, so way to burn bright with your nose.
Oh, I'm doing it.
Okay, where are you burning out?
I'm just burning out.
Right.
I'm tired. Right. I'm not going to lie. This is a hard season.
Life is hard.
We're looking out the windows of your beautiful home. Beautiful home. Word. I can't even get it out. I hope that resonated with you. But, you know, I say dead trees. They're not dead. No, they're just dormant.
No, there's some dead ones in there.
And it's sad. Like this dark season, I retreat. And I do think there's time and place to retreat where I need to turn inward. But I also cut off the outside world mm-hmm. where it's a slippery slope for me.
Like what do you mean?
So I have to actively, intentionally, like just like today, I have to be proactive of I'm dropping Layla off. I have the freedom where I don't have anything until, well, I do 9:30, but it's all day long. But those moments of where I can go home and I can get in bed and I can just go to sleep. Or
is that good or bad for you?
Bad because it's a slippery slope where depression is anxiety. All this happens.
Does depression, can you slide into it easily?
Oh, so easily in the season because it's dark. It's cold. I want to be inside. I want to be on my couch. I want to be on my bed.
Where do you go with your thoughts?
Into a nice little place I like to call misery.
Is it just a past life? And
yeah, I think reflection anxiety. And retrospection is good when in the right mindset.
Right.
But for me, yeah, it's
sometimes you don't need to relive stuff.
No. And I don't.
And you've done the work. I mean, you have to do work around it, but you've done a lot of work on your past.
Oh, and I'm still working. I notice things that pop up here and there. And I think we talked about this last week. Again, this is how my brain's working, where I don't want to be angry at anybody. I don't want to be annoyed at anybody. I don't want to resent anybody, and that includes myself. And in that, it has to be a constant work to see the human in other people and to see the soul in other people. The human has happened to us. This experience has happened to us.
Right, right, right.
There's been looking at you. You're my friend. I love you. And you're not Caroline Lashes, beautiful blonde hair, gorgeous smile. On the inside, you are Caroline.
You're weathered. You're a worn out soul.
You know, you're a baby. You were a child. You were a
pure vessel.
You had all these things happen to you. And I think it's easy.
The debris of life, you collect it.
It's easy as another human looking at you to be like, Nope, I don't see that. I see Caroline right here. I see this and not understand that you've lived a human experience and not have compassionate understanding when the system glitches. And what I mean by that is, you know, a flawed aspect comes out where I can be like, oh, which I wouldn't do this, but it does, you know, oh, Caroline, oh, this, you know. And I notice those things as much as I've done so much soul work and continuing learning and growing. When those things come up, when I get annoyed with a random person, a coworker, a friend, this dark time amplifies dark thoughts, mm-hmm. where I have to do extra work.
Yeah.
And so for me, ooh, subconsciously, sometimes I'd just rather be at home.
Yeah.
Where I'm not having to do that extra work. When I don't have the energy, when my eyes right now are heavy, even though it's 9 o'clock in the morning or whatever time it is in the morning, I'm tired.
Mm-hmm.
As opposed to when it's warm outside and the sun's outside, I have natural caffeine energy where I'm like,
I know.
Put me out here. Let me feel the breeze.
The weather.
Here it's like.
I'm so tired of feeling sad.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
It's so, feeling sad all the time is exhausting. And feeling stuck is exhausting. And so it's like, I feel like I'm with you. It's like, I have cycled through, and mine stems around a lot of like baby stuff, like losses and, you know, just growing the family, question marks, career, like high highs, low lows, just all that. And then my childhood people pleasing, all that, which I feel like I'm getting over a lot. But it's like, okay, I've done a lot of work and I don't want to do that anymore. I want to like close that chapter altogether and start a new one.
Yeah.
You know, it's like, I don't want to dive into that book anymore. It's like, it's not like I'm blocking it out.
Right.
But because I've definitely read that book 100 times and, but I'm like, I just don't want to think about some of these things anymore. Is that bad?
No, I don't think it's bad. I think it's an opportunity to listen to yourself and why are you reliving these thoughts and why are you reliving this process and what is it that you hope to gain? And I know I'm asking that. I know your answer. I know your answer as far as like your family, your growth, the things that you desire and what happens if that's not on the path. Like,
right. It's just acceptance. And I think that that's where I am with like all of this is like, okay, God, when you don't know what do you do?
And that's the podcast.
Like when you
can
don't
we ever find that answer? Can somebody just tell us? Right, I was about to say, call in.
When you don't know what to do, what are you supposed to do?
What are you supposed to do? Come on.
Like, and I'm not like, I don't have any real strong feelings about anything. I just don't know what to do.
Question. I'm unpacking this right now. What if we just listen?
Just be. And not being a rush.
I know that sounds so cliche and so silly, but seriously, when you have these thoughts, and I'm closing my eyes right now just to, I know what thoughts automatically creep into my brain, and we just sit and listen without trying to intellectually interrupt, verbally interrupt, movement, not using our body to interrupt, just like, okay, God, self, universe, whatever terms you want to use to unpack this, what are you saying? And what am I not hearing?
And what am I trying to force
mm-hmm.
and create?
Yeah.
Because I have an agenda.
Yeah. For me, I bypass my why so much. So in a certain situation, like writing my book. Okay, why am I writing it? Well, I'm writing it because I want to get this on paper. Why am I writing it?
Why?
Well, because this is like an opportunity to do something as far as career-wise or this. I keep asking these questions. My why is when I really unpacked and really got dirty and underneath. My dad passed away when I was 19. I have so many questions about his life that I have no idea because his brother died before him. His mom died. His dad died before I knew. I don't even know any of his family. I don't know my dad. I knew my dad as my dad, what I had, but I don't know him. And I am trying to heal and grow and learn from that. And I never want my kids to not know about me, even the dark, even the stuff, because I don't want, let's say I passed away tomorrow. I don't want my kids to try to heal from stuff they have no idea about.
And just guess.
Yeah. And so when I found out my why of writing, like my why is for my kids to have the healing powers of anything they need to work through me tangible. Now, I'm always open to conversations, but when I realized that I started writing more freely, I started
you
writing.
You want them to know all of it.
Everything. Everything.
You don't want to hide anything from them. No. You want them to know why you are the way you are.
Yeah.
That's awesome. And that's such broken, that's a great mom, though. You're not trying to like hide the broken, sad, ugly parts or whatever, the parts that you would have not wanted. You're sharing all that. And that's freeing for you. And also freedom for them that they don't have to be perfect.
Yeah.
You know? And that they can have things happen and still have a wonderful life. You know? Like, you're just such an inspiration to them.
Oh, wow.
But you I know love what? That you're not hiding any of it. That's so powerful.
No. My biggest goal with my kids, because I learned in phases. I had my first child when I was a baby. And, you know, I always say, I'm still healing. I think my youngest, Layla, has gotten the best version of me as a mother. And if there were children to follow, which that has ended for me, they would get a better version because I'm learning through each one of them. So my oldest literally got the short end of the stick with everything. Learning and growing still with him just through all these phases. And I'm sure it's not easy for him to see the presence, the priority that I have with Layla, because Layla essentially, like I said, she's the only one home, is like an only child. So she's getting all of me. Before, you know, at one point it was only four kids and they had to separate between four. And then I added, you know, two teenagers to the mix, and the mix of three of my kids being in preteen, teen years. So it took a little bit of me away as well. So there's lots of versions of me that my kids have gotten.
Every kid has a different version of you.
And we lived under the same roof. We've lived under this. And I'm like, oh my goodness.
Every kid has a different version and a thought of you. Like,
yeah.
Like Layla may think you're the most present, amazing, incredible mom ever. And like your other one loves you. But like mom was, like you said, gave me the short end of the stick. Isn't that crazy? You're the same person, but you're not the same person. Because the circumstances are so different. And like you're literally just doing the best you can in that season.
Yeah. I think of you and going through what you're going through, and you have Sunny right now. You've got Sunny, this beautiful, growing young lady that gets, I mean, I watched you and Michael drop her off this morning. She got your undivided attention.
Oh, she gets you too. 24/7 undivided.
You got to do that together. And again, I'm saying this from somebody that had two siblings and I have multiple children. I've never been in a single child home. I've never been a part of that dynamic. So it's kind of like, you know, you got curly hair, I want curly hair. You've got straight hair, I want straight hair. I think it's such a beautiful thing what you're gifting Sunny. And I also understand the desire for a sibling and a desire for another child and a desire to grow your family, because I've had that.
Right. And I'm scared. Like, my biggest fear is that, like, she's going to miss out on something by not having a sibling. But you know what? We're all going to miss out on something, you know?
You should talk to my kids and they'll tell you what they missed out by having siblings.
Yeah, it's like...
And again...
Look, everyone's going to miss out on something.
Yes, yes.
So it's like, yeah. Do you feel like you didn't get your parents' attention, but you had these siblings and maybe they were your best friends or your saving grace or something?
Yeah.
Or you don't have a sibling and you always wonder and you're just like hanging out with your parents and you're like, I wish I had a sibling because I'm just hanging out with my parents.
Right, right.
That's why we got her a dog.
Yeah, you know, look, she's got a puppy.
But it's also just like, and this is what I put on my Instagram handle, and because this is what I'm just getting to more, and it's like life is insane, and nobody gets a full deck of cards. Like, you know, like nobody gets a full deck. It's all in how you play your hand. And so it's like when you've been dealt a hand, and sometimes a really crappy hand that you don't want or that was not fair, it's like, okay, how do you play that and make it a good hand?
Oh, dang.
Because it's a choice that comes down to you ultimately.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Mm-hmm.
It's like, am I going to let this swallow me up, consume me, make me sad, angry, miserable, whatever? Or am I going to act like I chose this, or not chose this, act like this was just the way it is, embrace it, accept it, and make it great?
Yeah. No, we do. We have a choice in everything we do. And it doesn't make it right that we had to go through what we've gone through.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't make it fair. And what if we could look at everything from all facets of the situation?
Right.
Of yes, we're allowed to feel pain. Yes, we're allowed to grieve. Yes, we're allowed to unpack and replenish. And what if we took all those things as an opportunity to learn and grow?
I love that. And not viewing it as good or bad.
No.
Not viewing the situation as like, okay, so like me with losses, like that's so bad. That's only bad. There's only bad things that can happen to you. That's not fair. That's what everybody wants to tell you, you know? And mm-hmm. that's why, like, I'm so tired of talking about the losses, because I'm like, oh my God, everyone's like, just so, people will greet you with sadness and they're just so sorry. And it's just like sad, 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 sad. And I get it and I'm appreciative of that, but it's like, oh, I can't be sad about this anymore. So it's like, what if I just don't view this as good or bad? This is just, I mean, obviously this is not what I wanted.
Right.
But, and I hate all of it, but it's like, okay, it happened. So how do I get to acceptance with it? And how do I view that, like, stuff happens to people all the time that they don't want to have happen to them? That is life. I mean, look at life. Everybody has stuff happen to them that they do not want to have happen mm-hmm. to them. It's across the board. It's going to happen to everyone. So what are you going to do? Be pissed about it forever? Have the scorecard of all the things that went wrong and be mad and like you said, you got to grieve it. You got to go through it. But then it's like, you got to get on the other side of it if you want to have joy again.
Yeah. Well, how often do we make the same choices over and over again that hinder our experience in this life?
Yeah.
How often do we go back to the same friends that make us feel like crap?
Yeah.
How often do we walk into a workplace that we have to be there for finances, or we're just super comfortable and we're like, we don't have another option. But we hate our job.
Yeah.
How often do we put up with something from a partner when a lot of times all we have to do is speak up and we have to put in the work?
Right.
It's not like, oh, this person's horrible. It's this, it's that. No, it's work. Or you have an opportunity to be like, bye.
Right. But if you don't do the work, on a relationship, then this is what I realized too. Like, and you know this, marriage is not easy.
Mm-mm.
Marriage is not easy. Throw a kid, kids in there. I mean, it's like, if you don't figure out how to communicate in your marriage and like express your needs lovingly, and like, we're not always gonna get it right. Like we talked about in the last podcast, sometimes our spouse is the one that's the easiest to kind of be an asshole to.
Yeah.
But it's like, if you can't figure out how to communicate your needs, then how are you ever going to have a healthy relationship?
Okay. I'm going to share something with you just from my experience and like spiritual growth. One of the hardest things for me to grasp growing up was how did some people's prayers get answered and some people's did not.
Oh, wow.
And coming from a home where nothing was really explained, it was just like, you know, God will provide, or because I said so, or this or that.
When meanwhile, you're like, okay, this God's not providing.
No.
And things are not going well.
But I didn't understand the concept of yes, pray, yes, manifest, but you have to put in the work.
Yeah.
If I'm going to say, God, I hope I get this job, but I've never filled out an application, how is God going to give me that job? How am I going to get that job? No, that's not what it is. You're putting it out into the universe. You're using that verbiage, that verbal realization of this is what I want, but you have to do the work to make that happen.
Yes.
You have to make those connections. You have to wake up. It's not just put in the application. It's a follow-up.
Yeah.
It's to research that job that you're going into.
And to walk into that job that you're going into being a prepared candidate.
Uh-huh.
Like if you wanted to be a yoga instructor, being able to do yoga.
Right.
Knowing, you know, being able to lead a class. Like you walk in prepared. You can't just walk in and be like, I want to do yoga. And then just scared to death of it. You have to walk in confident and know your stuff and be prepared.
So when it came to understanding prayer and action.
Hmm.
It has shifted my life dramatically. Now, I'm not saying that I'm perfect at it.
I think you're perfect at everything.
You know what? You're amazing.
I think you're perfect at it, Christina.
But it is. It's a practice of, it's a growing of, okay, I tried this, it didn't work. Trial and error. I tried this and it doesn't mean my prayer's not answered. Something else may be out there.
Maybe you got to take responsibility for your life.
Yes.
Because God is going to give you all the opportunities to give you new opportunities to have answered prayers, mm-hmm. but you can't sit in a sad, mopey whirlpool of all the things gone wrong, because God can't bless you when you're in a tornado of what's gone wrong.
No.
You got to get yourself out of it and do the work to get to where you want to be.
Yeah.
I needed to hear this, because I've kind of been in a whirlpool of just like, I can't get out of this place.
And I think it's part of a human experience to have to sit with stuff a little bit, to listen, like yeah. we said. And once we've listened, once we've read the book, once we've gone and done the workshop, the books, you know, that filled out all the little papers and check boxes and, you know, refixed our answers, move on.
Yeah.
That test is done.
Yeah.
It's over.
Yeah.
We may have to do a review, an exam years later. We may have an overall thing, but we've learned from that. We take away what we need. Mm-hmm. Or we just keep retaking the same darn course.
What do they say? The lesson repeats until learned.
Mm-hmm.
I don't want to keep learning these same lessons. I'm done with this chapter. Maybe it's 42. I'm like, I am ready for a new chapter.
Think about this. Let's say you decided to go to Harvard to study English. Let's just say.
Okay.
Harvard's not cheap. It's an investment. You're going to have to relocate your family. You're going to have to prioritize, 3 hours of studying for 1 hour of lecture? I think that's what it is. Okay. This course, let's just say it costs $30,000 for the semester for this course. I don't know if that's accurate. I'm just throwing out numbers. But you're taking the same course for 10 years in a row. You should have graduated at year four. You should have only done this course one semester. But you were investing, you were pouring all this money over and over and over, over again. You're taking the same exams, the same test, you're writing down the same answers. Apply that to your life. How often do we do that?
Yeah.
We invested all this time, all this money, all this wasted energy into something, and you had a choice. You had a choice to sit and study for that. You had a choice to absorb that information. You had a choice to learn from what that professor taught you. But why are you going back? Is it because it's so comfortable that maybe pouring the money is the least
of your issues? You like don't mind throwing the money in because you're just like comfortable in this state.
You know this chair. You know this classroom. You know this professor. You know what they're going to say next.
I know the situation.
And you may loathe going into it every day.
And maybe I'm not ready for the next level where I have to go get a job with the tools that I learned.
Yeah.
Maybe I'd rather just stay the student.
In this hypothetical Harvard situation, let's add a layer to it. You're like, I want to be an English teacher. You haven't finished the courses, man.
Yeah.
God, make me an English teacher. You don't have a degree in it.
Right.
You can't teach in public education or education without a degree, right?
Right.
But you're mad at God because you're not getting teaching jobs. You're still in the courses, man. You're still in the courses. You're still stuck in that space right there.
Yep.
You haven't moved on. So whose fault is that? But what if we apply that to just the small things? Small things.
Hi, I'm Cindy Crawford, and I'm the founder of Meaningful Beauty. Well, I don't know about you, but like I never liked being told, oh, wow, you look so good for your age. Like, why even bother saying that? Why don't you just say you look great at any age, every age? That's what Meaningful Beauty is all about. We create products that make you feel confident in your skin at the age you are now.
Meaningful Beauty. Beautiful skin at every age. Learn more at meaningfulbeauty.com.
Snag a Job is where America goes to hire, with the deepest talent pool in hourly hiring. With access to over 6 million active hourly workers, Snagajob is the all-in-one solution for hiring high-quality employees who can cover all your needs. On demand, temp to hire, part-time or full-time. You name the position. Warehouse worker, retail associate, grocery store clerk, fitness trainer, baker, stylist, bellhop, podcast producer. Yeah, Snagajob's got a worker for that. With our easy-to-use platform, you're able to seamlessly post and fill available positions quickly, with a dedicated customer support team to provide all the help you need along the way. Kind of nice knowing you have a talent pool like that in your own backyard, right? Snagajob is the partner you need to keep your business running smoothly. So visit snagajob.com or text SNAG to 242424 to talk to an expert. Snagajob.com, where America goes to hire.
You deserve a moment to yourself every single day. And a delicious bite of a Keebler Sandies can give you that comforting pause. If tonight's movie night is just what you need, make it special with the melt-in-your-mouth magic of a Keebler Sandies. This magic is baked into simple shortbread cookies by Ernie and the Keebler Elves. So as life continues to fly by, make the most of your me moment. Take a pause and enjoy a Keebler Sandies.
Right here, right now. Find your beautiful new floor at Right Rug Flooring. Choose from thousands of in-stock styles, ready for next day installation, and all backed by the right price guarantee. Visit rightrug.com. That's RITERUG.com today to schedule a free in-home estimate or to find a location near you. 24-month financing is available with approved credit. For 90 years, we've been right here, right now. Right Rug Flooring.
Paint and be a successful artist for a while. And I say successful. I want to be able to drop my kid off at school, go home, paint, feel, read, do this, and make a decent living to survive, to be comfortable. How often? Yes, I'm painting, but how often have I put my work out there?
Right.
How often have I let people know what I'm doing? How often have I displayed my work where they're like, oh, I've seen this piece or I know this piece? No, because of fear. Mm. I'm repeating the same thing over and over again. So how can I be mad when another artist is like popping up, going off, and I'm like, oh, I could have done that. Oh, I should have been a part of that show. Oh, I should have done that. It's my fault.
Mm-hmm.
They put in the work. They've learned their lesson.
And they put themselves out there.
Yeah.
That's the huge part about putting yourself out there. Just like not being scared to let people see you, to let people see your art, to let people see you naked.
Yeah.
And then judge you for it.
Yeah.
Because then if you are just so confident in what you're doing, it's almost like you just put it out there and you're like, okay, I don't need you to love this, but I'm going to let people who want to love this have the opportunity to know it exists.
So going back.
So you're doing it for other people's healing as well.
For sure.
And instead of the critics, you're doing it because you're like, yes, I might have critics and people might say, oh, that's a shitty painting. But then also people might be like, oh my God, this speaks to my soul. So you can't worry about the people who aren't going to like it because you're not really successful if you don't have haters.
No. I want to tie back to something that you said at the beginning, which is a word that stuck out. And I know your intention, but I want to flip that. You said fear. And you said fear of predators. And I know automatically we're like, Sunny, you want to protect your child, predators. Let's remove that from the equation. Predators of your life and your fear for you, Caroline, not your partner, not your child, not your family. When you see predators on your life, what does that mean to you?
I don't feel like people are like going to come kill me.
No.
Or like it's not like that level. What is it for me? Just people not being, maybe it's just people not wanting me to, maybe it's people thinking I'm too much or.
Okay, hold on, stop there. What does too much mean?
Because I feel like if I really were to showcase my full life, I'm like, it's so special to me. Like, I love my life so much. There's so many little special pieces that I'm like, I don't want anybody just to like see that and put their negative shitty energy all over it.
But how? No, I know what you're saying. I want to unpack this. I want to get to the why. Like, I want to get down in the dirt, okay. Like I said. What do you mean?
Like, what if I put all these like really sweet moments of like Sunny's cute little love with her dog and, you know, us road tripping and having a lot of fun in the car and then behind the scenes of great interviews of podcasts. And if I just showed how like good it all was, I'm scared that someone's gonna come and try to take it.
Okay. And let's add on to that because I love where this is going. What was your intention of starting your podcast from the beginning?
I thought people had life figured out. And I was when I first started it, I felt very insecure. And like, I felt really less than. And so I thought people were more worthy than me. And I wanted to interview all these people who I thought I had put on pedestals that had figured life out and like get their secrets. And what I realized is no one has it figured out at all. So it's actually like, liberated me because I'm like these people who I thought were like literally incredible. They're still just straight up human beings with a ton of debris, human debris that they've had to sift through. They've just sifted through it. And they've made peace with it, and they don't live in fear of all the things that have been negative. They just get on the other side of them.
What has been your greatest reward through doing your podcast?
Taking the illusion that some people are, got it better than others. My greatest reward is that anybody can become anything. Anybody can become anything that their heart tells them that they want to do. And this is, I think what I'm realizing is I'm so stuck in fear right now because I'm so scared if I share my full life, someone's going to try to take it from me. But that's fear. That's letting the negativity rule my life, you know, instead of just trusting in goodness. Anybody can do anything that they believe they are called to do. If you, like you said, do the work and do the action. It doesn't matter where you're from, what happened to you, what trauma happened to you, whatever. It's like that all can actually fuel it in a really healing way and help people.
Through all of this, you've given people a voice. And you're listening to hearing other people talk and asking questions and listening has allowed you to come to that realization that not everybody has their shit together.
Yeah.
That people are healing, they're growing, they're human.
Right.
So you've given yourself a gift. You've given the world a gift, your listeners a gift. What if sharing your life, yes, there are going to be naysayers, haters. Like I am preaching to myself as I'm looking in your eyes. There are going to be people that are going to be like, oh, that's not real. That's not the, oh, this is, oh my goodness. Caroline got her hair blonde again. La, la, la. All this stuff. That's not your shit. That's not yours. That is not yours whatsoever. And what if you were giving yourself, your family, and in turn, your listeners, your, is that what they're called in the Instagram podcast? Where I don't know. Yeah. Your people.
Yeah.
An opportunity to learn and grow with you.
I think I haven't let people really know me all the way. Because I'm scared that someone's going to try to take it. not like they can't take my life, but like, I don't know what that is. Like, what is that deep rooted? Someone's going to try to take my goodness. Like, they're going to see it and they're going to want to
corrupt it?
Yeah.
Dirty it? Mucky it?
Or like even just like have bad thoughts. But it's like, you can't even like worry about that.
How, okay, predators with, it's easy to envision, I mean, it's horrible to envision, but it's easy to envision all the safeguards we put in place for the physicality of it. Like, you're with Sunny all the time. She's with an adult. You're not giving her access to, you know, a phone or any of this. Like, you have all these tangible things. How, which, you don't live in a box by any means.
I think it's just letting people know me. Just like letting myself be seen. I think that is what it is. I'm so scared to let myself be seen fully because I'm like, if people fully know me, what if they judge me? What if people get, someone gets crazy obsessed and doesn't like me in a negative way? You know, it's like letting people have strong feelings about me. I think I've been really scared to let people have strong feelings about me. I've much rather presented other people's stories because people are willing to share, but it's like, I'm scared to let people have strong feelings about me.
You're not alone. I mean, I feel that every day. And you going to the grocery store, people are going to have strong feelings about you.
Yeah.
And that's theirs. Are you carrying that home with you? Or are you like, hey, old Blondie in aisle three was looking me up and down. Like, you're not taking that home with you.
This is good. I need to get over this fear. It's a fear of being seen and letting people know me.
What? Here's the thing for me. I don't think you have to share everything. You share what you want to share. And imagine you're sharing, I know I say stuff like this all the time, with little Caroline, a lesson for her to learn as she's growing.
Like every time I post, do it from a heartfelt place.
Yeah.
Of love.
Yeah. Not that place of the haters, the judgment, the, you know, people are there coming to take anything. Because here's the thing is there's always going to be jealousy in this whole world. You and I included. We're going to have to work on that.
Oh, yeah. I feel it all the time.
There's going to be jealousy. There's going to be judgment. There's going to be people that want what you have. And how can you still share authentically with the positive aspect of that, of people that need to heal?
Right.
People that need to find joy.
Right.
People that need to find happiness. And guess what? It's okay if somebody unfollows you. It's okay if somebody mutes you because they're not at a place to take in what you have.
And people can only handle what they can handle.
They can only handle what they can handle. And you still have a gift. So when I think of this, like just from teaching yoga, the reason why for sharing yoga is because it is the force, it's the line that truly allowed me to turn within, to notice the work that I have to do inward and outwardly. And it's changed my life. Now going into teaching a yoga class, for a lot of people, it's like, and I'm saying this from a judgment-free space. We have different driving forces for why we do what we want to do. For some people, it's like, I want to teach to a room full of people. I want that adrenaline. I want that party. I want that go. For me, I want to teach to one person.
Mm-hmm.
One person it's going to change. Now, whether that's 10 people and it's going to land on the one person, just like me just figuring out my followers or people that can see my stories. If it one person, it made one person feel good. Like I will share cat stuff all the time because cat stuff makes me happy. Just weird cats dancing, random. Somebody's probably going to think, oh my gosh, this girl's crazy. Why is she obsessed with cat? Like whatever, that's their place to think. I don't care. Cats make me laugh. Not trying to hurt anybody.
Yeah.
So if your intention to share is to be like, hey, I am healing. I'm growing. These are my joys. These are my sadnesses. Did I say a word? Sadnesses?
Sadnesses.
Yeah, I don't know. Whatever. Whatever. That resonates. Take it. Yeah. Land it. When you're authentically doing that, coming from a genuine place, your people that are meant to hear it are going to hear it, and it's going to land.
Yeah.
And all the other 30%, let's just say 60% of people, it's not for them, and that's not your place to carry that.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm saying this to you and I'm preaching to myself. Mm-hmm. It is a mirror right now because gosh, I need to hear this for me.
Yep.
It's not for some people.
Yep.
And it's not going to keep me from creating. It's not going to keep me from growing.
Yeah.
And if my outcome of painting produces one piece of art that somebody likes and they're like, it's whatever. Cool. I did my job. If my writing is for my kids and nobody else ever sees it or else ever cares, it's for my kids. That was my why.
Uh-huh.
And whatever comes from that.
The authentic, heartfelt reason of why.
Yeah.
And then block the fear and block the ego.
Yep. And if I want my book to be published and be in bookstore, I got to put in that work.
Yep.
It's not my kids' word of mouth. It's not the others. It's not, hey, take this for me. No, I got to do all the avenues. So we have to put in the work. We have to get over the fear. And we have to work through that because it's not just saying, I'm over the fear. I'm going to do it. Take three steps up the steps, you're probably going to get knocked down.
Yep.
You got to keep climbing. You got to keep going. And with conversations like this and help from people that you trust and love, the accountability, the structure, and the freedom to fall is what is going to lift us back up.
Drop the mic. Okay, Christina Lentz, The Burn. I love you. This is so great.
Love you so much.
We'll be coming back at you. And I feel like we always do leave your light. Maybe we don't need to leave a light. Do you want to leave a light?
Leave a light. Just do it.
Okay, go for it. Leave your light.
My light. Put in the work. That's it. That's all I have to say. Put in the work.
My light is don't be ruled by fear.
Love it.
Be ruled by joy. Love it.
Happy week.
Happy week. Bye.
Bye.
Right here, right now. Find your beautiful new floor at Right Rug Flooring. Choose from thousands of in-stock styles ready for next day installation and all backed by the right price guarantee. Visit rightrug.com. That's RITERUG.com today to schedule a free in-home estimate or to find a location near you. 24-month financing is available with approved credit. For 90 years, we've been right here, right now. Right Rug Flooring.
Open a limited-time 11-month certificate at Kemba Financial Credit Union. At 5.25% APY, it's more than triple the national average, plus it's a safe and secure way to grow your money. Visit your local branch or kemba.org/cd for details. Offer expires May 31st, 2024. APY equals annual percentage yield. Restrictions apply. $500 minimum and $250,000 maximum deposit. Advantage status required. Comparison based on bank rate average. Federally insured by NCUA.
This is Malcolm Gladwell from Revisionist History. eBay Motors is here for the ride. With some elbow grease, fresh installs, and a whole lot of love, you transformed 100,000 miles and a body full of rust into a drive that's all your own. Brake kits, LED headlights, whatever you need, eBay Motors has it. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, it's guaranteed to fit your ride the first time, every time, or your money back. Plus, at these prices, you're burning rubber, not cash. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.